Today's shiur is Daf Tzadik Tes in Erevin, and we're going to begin on Daf Tzadik Ches Amid Beis at the bottom Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Omer Adam Rishus HaYochid, a person could be standing in Rishus HaYochid, Umetalpul Rishus HaRabim, and move items in the Rishus HaRabim. Rishus HaRabim, Umetalpul Rishus HaYochid, he could be standing in Rishus HaRabim, and move items around in the Rishus HaYochid. Uvad, the only thing he has to be careful is shlo yotzi chutz mi arba amos, that he should not move anything in the Rishus HaRabim more than 4 amos, because as we know, we're not allowed to move objects in Rishus HaRabim for more than 4 amos. Tells us the Mishnah another din, lo yamer adam Rishus HaYochid, a person shouldn't stand in Rishus HaYochid v'yashtim Rishus HaRabim and urinate into the Rishus HaRabim, or vice versa Rishus HaRabim v'yashtim Rishus HaYochid v'chein lo yorek, you're not allowed to spit. Why? Because spitting also means that you're going from one rishus to another rishus. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, af mishnitlish roika mipiv, once the saliva becomes detached in the mouth, the halacha is lo yehalach arba amos, he should not walk 4 amos at shiyorik until he is careful to have the saliva leave his mouth, because carrying the saliva would be usur. So the Mefarshim ask, why did Rabbi Yehuda give the example of walking 4 amos with the saliva in his mouth? The Gemara could have given an example that you're not allowed to go from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYochid with saliva in your mouth. So Mefarshim explain that there are shittas that say that going from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYochid or vice versa, an akira and hanocha are always required. But walking 4 amos in Rishus HaRabim, an akira and hanocha may not be even required. So it's much easier to transgress the aveir of walking 4 amos in Rishus HaRabim. So that's why the Mishnah chose that example. And the Sefer Chassidim says, based on this Mishnah, that a person should be careful on Shabbos not to eat food items that cause a lot of saliva, because you could have the issue of carrying saliva. The Sefer Chassidim says shumshimin. Shumshimin is either sesame or papi. He says they cause saliva, and you could have a shaila of an issa deraisa. In fact, there's another shaila that the Minchas Yitzchak discusses. A person should be careful after he eats that he shouldn't have pieces of food left in his mouth on Shabbos, because he could come to carry him and be oivin aveira. Says the Gemara, Masnin l'Rav Chinuna bar Shalmi l'chi bar Rav kamei de Rav. Just the opposite of what it said in our Mishnah, he taught him that lo yamed adam rishus hayochid mitat rishus hayabim, a person should not stand in rishus hayochid and move around items rishus hayabim. Why did he say it? Because we're going to have a Mishnah in Mitzvah Hashem on Daf Kuf Aleph that teaches us that a person shouldn't stand in rishus hayochid and move a key in rishus hayabim. So based on that din, he said the same thing would apply, that you shouldn't stay in Rishus HaYochid and move things in Rishus HaRabim. So ask the Gemara, Amrlei, Shafkas Rabbanan, are you leaving the Rabbanan, that the Rabbanan our Mishnah said that it is mutter to do it, Vavis Kremeya, that says that it's Asr? How did you make such a fundamental error? Says the Gemara, who suffer, how did he come to make this error? Midas Sefer Rameya, since in the following Mishnah we're going to have Rameya that says you shouldn't do it, Rei Shinami Rameya, in this Mishnah too we should follow Rameya Shita and not allow somebody to do this. V'loihi, but says the Gemara, he was incorrect. Sefer, the Mishnah Daf Kuf Aleph, represents Rameya Shita with its Asr. Reisha, but our Mishnah is representing the Rabbanan Shita, that according to Rabbanan you are allowed to stay in Rishus HaYochid and move items around Rishus HaRabim. But what did we learn in the Mishnah? Ovat shlo yotzi chutz l'dal amos. You're not allowed to stand in Rishus HaYochid and move around items in Rishus HaRabim for dal amos. So what do we see from our Mishnah? Ha-hoitzi, if you did do it, chayef chattis. That means, according to our Mishnah, at least according to the understanding of the Gemara at this point, if somebody's standing inside his house and he sticks his hand outside and picks up an item in Rishus HaRabim and moves it for 4 amos and then deposits it, he's chayiv issa deraisa. Leim mesayle l'rova. This corroborates the shita that we learned yesterday that Rava said. Dama Rava, hamava chayfetz mitchilas arba l'soif arva. If somebody moves an item 4 amos in the Rishus HaRabim, the vir derech olav, even though he picks up the item above 10 tefachim, which we've learned many times, Rosh Hashanah Rabbim doesn't go higher than 10 tefachim, so he picked it up in a kira in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, moved it through a makom p'tur, and then deposited it in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, it's chayiv. That's chayiv. So our Mishnah seems to corroborate that shita. Says the Gemara, our Mishnah isn't necessarily corroborating. Miktani, did our Mishnah say that if somebody actually did it, he's chayiv chatas? The Mishnah didn't say it. Dilma, maybe our Mishnah is saying that if you would have done it, it'll be part of also, you'll be over the Rabbanon, but it doesn't mean that you'll be over the Raisa. So we have no proof to Rava. Ikad Amri, Hahoitzi, on the contrary, that our Mishnah is a proof against Rava, because our Mishnah is going to paskin Hahoitzi, that if you did move it in such a fashion, from one spot of Shusha Rabbim through a Makom Patur, that means above 10 Tfachim, down to another Shusha Rabbim, part to Aval Osir. It's only a Rabbanon, not a Daraisa. And Ritva says, what makes me think that that's Peshat in the Mishnah? Because if the Mishnah thought that Yechayev Echatis, the Mishnah should have used a stronger language. The fact that the Mishnah says, Im Hoitzi, if you did it, you did something wrong, but didn't indicate how serious the Aver is, it seems that the Mishnah disagrees with Rava. Lame to have it to Yufta the Rava. So our Mishnah is in disagreement with Rava. Dama Rava, Rava holds that I'm having Mitchilas Dalad, Saif Dalad, Bevir Derech Olav, even if you carry it above the Dutfachim Mechayif. Says the Gemara, what makes you say that our Mishnah is necessarily arguing? Meek Tani, did our Mishnah explicitly say that Hoitzi, if you did it, Pot Avalasar? The Mishnah just says you shouldn't do it. Dilma, maybe our Mishnah holds that Im Hoitzi Chayv Chatas, which is exactly like Rava. So the point of the Gemara is, our Mishnah is not a proof for or against Rava's din, that if you carry something from the beginning of 4 Amos to the end of 4 Amos from Shusha Rabbim, and you transported it through a Makom Patur, what's going to be your din? Obviously, we said this yesterday, just to review, that if you would stop with the item above the Yotfachim, then everybody would agree that you're Potter. Here we're talking that you didn't stop. So we learned, like Amr Adam Rosh Hashayachid, you're not allowed to stand in Rosh Hashayachid and urinate or spit into the Rosh Hashayachid. Amr Rav Yosef, Hishtin Varok, if somebody did do that, Chayv Chatz. You did an Aver Deraisa of transferring from Rosh Hashayachid to Rosh Hashayachid or vice versa. Ask the Gemara, Vabi Inan Akir Vanochem Gabin Mokim Dal Veleko. We learned the Masech to Shabbos that in order to be chayiv for hoitzah, you have to have a kir, you have to pick up the item. And you have to pick it up from an area that's at least dalad al dalad. Here, the area you're picking it up from is your body. It's not a dalad al dalad. Says the Gemara, machshavtoi mashvilei mokum. The fact that this place is significant to you, that gives it the status of a dalad al dalad. Dilei temahochi, if you won't follow such a concept, Hadam and Rava told us, Zark v'nach b'fi kelev, if somebody goes and throws something that lands in the mouth of a dog, or b'fi a kifshan, or lands in the mouth of a furnace, it's a small opening, chayv chattas. It's considered that you did an avera of etzah deraisa. Ay, v'abina hanocha gavim mokum dalet, the mouth of a dog isn't dalet al dalet, the opening of this furnace is not dalet al dalet v'leka, so why you chayv? Ella, what do you have to say? Machshavta mashvilei mokum. Because you want it to land there, that gives it the significance of a dalet al dalet. Hachnami machshava mashvilei mokum. The fact that you want it to come from, that's the way you want it to leave. You want it to leave your body, that gives it the significance of a dalet al dalet. But Taisa says that we have to understand this concept of machshavta mashvilei mokum. Taisa says it's not used that if I wanted to throw something to a certain spot, and that spot isn't dalet al dalet, but the fact that I wanted to throw it there automatically gets the status of dalet al dalet. Taisa says you have to have another qualification. They want it there to the exclusion of wanting it to anywhere else. For example, the Gemara's case that I threw it into the dog's mouth. It's not that, you know, it's good for me, I'm happy that it landed in the dog's mouth. It has to be much more than that. It has to be that I specifically and only want it to be in the dog's mouth in the exclusion of wanting it to anywhere else. That's when the spot gets a din of a dalet al dalet. In the absence of that, it won't have the significance of a dalet al dalet. Now the Meiri asks a different question. Fine, we've spoken about the space that it comes to or lands in. But not asked the Meiri, we also learned from Sechta Shabbos that all types of items, every object, we spent a lot of blood discussing this, have to have a shear. And by liquids, the shear is generally a revius. A person doesn't generally spit a revius, hopefully. So you don't have the right amount. So how come yichayev chatas? So the Meiri uses the Gemara's concept too. He says, when a person wants to get the saliva out of his mouth, so he wants to get whatever he has in his mouth. So that makes that amount of saliva choshev, significant, and therefore, even though it's less than a revius, you're going to be chayev. Ask the Gemara. By Rava, who b'rishus ha-yachid? The person himself is in rishus ha-yachid, or pi'ama b'rishus ha-rabim, but his bladder is in rishus ha-rabim. Mahu. And he urinates into rishus ha-rabim. Is that considered that he transferred from rishus ha-yachid to rishus ha-rabim? Do I say basa akira zelinin, that we go from where the urine emanates from his body, that so it would be considered that he transferred from rishus ha-yachid to rishus ha-rabim? Oy basa yatziya zelinin, or do you look at where it leaves the body, and then both of them would be in rishus ha-rabim? And the Gemara says peku. Says the Gemara further, v'chein lo yorok, a person is not allowed to spit from rishus ha-yachid to rishus ha-rabim. If you daimer, a person should not walk in rishus ha-rabim with saliva in his mouth. Says the Gemara, afagav d'loy hapuch po, even though you didn't swirl the saliva in your mouth, the Gemara seems to say, that our Mishnah says, that saliva in the mouth that's dislodged is already considered carrying. So before we quote the Mishnah that the Gemara is going to ask a question from, a Mishnah in Kalim, let's review some of the halachas we learned regarding tumah. We learned that food cannot be makabel tumah, cannot become susceptible to tumah unless it gets wet. We also learned that only certain liquids can make food susceptible to tumah. And then we learned another din of Masechet Shabbos. The Gemara Masechet Shabbos says, "Stam yodayim shnius hayim." Hands that are unwashed are considered a sheni l'tumah. And therefore, if they touch truma, something that's a sheni l'tumah that touches truma will make that truma tumah. Says the Mishnah Masechet Kelim, "Hay oichel dveilim biyodayim su'avos." If somebody was eating truma with hands that were not washed, and he puts his hand into his mouth to take out, he has something in his mouth. Ramei matame. So Ramei says that now his hand is wet with saliva, and Ramei holds that saliva is considered a liquid that can make food susceptible to tumah. So now when he touches the tvela, it's going to become tumah. It comes wet. It becomes susceptible to tumah. Your hands are tumah, and the tvela will be tumah. Rav Yosi matar. Rav Yosi says it's tar because Rav Yosi considers saliva not a liquid that can, according to Rashi's pshat, not a liquid that can make food susceptible to tumah. Other rishonim have a different pshat than Rav Yosi. We also learned the din regarding food becoming susceptible to tumah by becoming wet. It has to be something that you're satisfied with. You wanted it to get wet. Says many Rishonim that Rabbi Yossi's reasoning for being matar is not because he holds that saliva is not a liquid. He holds this person that got his hands wet, he didn't want his hands to get wet. He didn't want the food that he's touching to get wet. He wanted to get whatever stuck in his mouth out. So that's not called Lirat Sinai. That's not called to his satisfaction, and that's why the food won't become tamei. Rabbi Yehuda makes the following distinction. If the saliva swirled around in his mouth, tamei, then the saliva is considered a liquid, and it makes the food tamei. Lo hifechba, but he didn't swirl it around his mouth, tahar. So we see that according to Rabbi Yehuda, saliva is not considered independent of the body unless you have two conditions. It got disconnected, and it also swirled around in his mouth. Our Mishnah Rabbi Yehuda doesn't make that requirement. Says the Gemara, Mechlefes Hashita. Om Rabbi Yochanan Mechlefes Hashita. So Rashi explains, Mechlefes Hashita, Rabbi Yehuda changed his mind. In our Mishnah, he did not require Hifechba, but he changed his mind, and the Mishnah Masechta Kelim represents his final position, that you require Hifechba. It requires swirling. As many mefarshim, that's not usually pshat mechlef sashita. Usually mechlef sashita means that we changed the shitas. that we switch Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. And there are many Mefarshim that learn Pshat in the Gemara not to say Rabbi Yehuda changed his mind, just switch Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda.
According to the Mefarshim that said before that the Pshat in Rabbi Yossi is that he didn't want his hand to get wet, so then how do we understand the Chilk in Rabbi Yehuda?
No, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't agree with Rabbi Yossi. According to Rabbi Yehuda, we consider saliva under all circumstances a liquid, but we have to have, he's going to agree with Rav Meir that saliva is a liquid, even if he doesn't want it, because if you know it's going to happen, you can't say you didn't want it to happen. It's inevitable. Reish Lakish Amar, Reish Lakish says a different terrors. Loy lam loy tachlif. Don't switch the sheetahs. There's a difference between saliva and phlegm. Our Mishnah is talking about phlegm. Phlegm, you don't need that you twirl around in the mouth. It's only saliva that has that requirement. Ask the Gemara, and this is where the Goy Nyakov explains this Gemara's question. That by saliva, the halacha is that it has, as soon as it's dislodged, it's considered you carried it. And then the Braisa uses the next word, roikoi, saliva. My laugh, so the Gemara assumes that roikoi v'nitlish, that saliva and phlegm have the same din, and all you need is that they should be detached, not swirled around. Says the Gemara, loy, keichoi v'nitlish. What the Braisa means is only by phlegm is it just enough that it got detached. By saliva, it has to have also swirled around. Ask the Gemara another question, Vatanya. We have another brisa. This brisa says specifically, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, keichai shenitlish, as soon as the phlegm gets dislodged, v'kein roikoi shenitlish, as soon as the saliva gets dislodged, even though it didn't swirl around, lo yehalach dalat amos, you're not to walk for dalat amos at shiyaruk until you actually remove it from your body. So you see that Rabbi Yehuda does not require swirling around. The only tarot you have to say is like the Gemara said before, Mechlev Sashita, Rabbi Yehuda originally learned like an Al Mishnah that swirling around is not required, but then he changed his position to require swirling around, and that's Mikra Din the Halacha, that you need swirling around. And the Mishnah Berurah says that a person should be careful not to walk around with saliva in his mouth, even if he didn't swirl it around. Mr. Brewer also says another interesting din. Mr. Brewer says that a person should be careful. Let's say a person's walking in a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and he spits, or the same will be in Rosh Hashanah Yochid. So he assumes that he's not doing anything wrong. He didn't spit for Dalat Amos. But if he spits in a place where it's right next to Rosh Hashanah Yochid and it's very easy to roll into Rosh Hashanah Yochid, so it's called Koichoi, it's a direct result of his action and his asur. Amar Reish Lakish, Keach b'fnei Rabbi. If somebody spits in front of his Rebbe, Chayv Misa, he's Chayv Misa. Shenemar, Kol Misanai, Apostle Kemishlei, Avamavis. All the people that hate me love death. Al Tikru Misanai, Elam Misniei. Somebody does something which is disgusting, that makes people hate, Talmid Chachamim, what do you call it, bring upon themselves death. And spitting in front of somebody's Rebbe is disgusting. After Rimara, the person didn't ask for it, it happened by itself. He's sick or he has a disease. Answers the Gemara, what it's talking out is that he spit. In other words, if something comes out by itself, it's a little hard to explain this Gemara. If it comes out by itself, so it came out, he wasn't in his control. But if a person chooses to spit, so you spit in front of your Rebbe, and the Shara Mitzion Baloch explains that of course you're not allowed to spit in front of anybody. But the Gemara uses a very harsh language of Chayiv Misa. The Chayiv Misa is only in front of a Rebbe, but that doesn't mean in front of anybody else you should spit. Says the Mishnah, Layamer Adam Rishus HaYochid, a person shouldn't stand in Rishus HaYochid, V'yishta Rishus HaRabim, and drink something Rishus HaRabim. Or vice versa, Rishus HaRabim, he shouldn't stand in Rishus HaRabim, V'yishta Rishus HaYochid, and just only stick out his mouth into Rishus HaYochid and drink. Unless he actually sticks his head into the area where he's drinking, the chaim begas, and the same is regarding a wine press. We'll explain this last line when we get to it in the Gemara shortly. Ask the Gemara, Reish Rabbanan, the Sefer Rameya. In the previous Mishnah we learned that a person can't stand in Rosh Hashanah Yochid and move around items in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, or vice versa. And here we're saying that you can't do it. You can't stand in Rosh Hashanah Yochid and drink in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Why? So it seems to represent Rameya Shita, that he's Machmer, like we quoted him from the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Aleph. There's a distinction between our Mishnah and the previous Mishnah. In our Mishnah, we're dealing with items that he needs. Water. So it's very likely that he's going to come, if he picks it up in Rishus HaYochid, and he's standing in Rishus Ram, that he's going to come to carry it. That's why we were Machmer. And the items that were mentioned in the previous Mishnah aren't such crucial items, so that's why we don't have to be Machmer. Now, what's the definition of B'chafetz and Shetzrichim Loi? Machloikus Rashi and Rambam. Rashi says B'chafetz and Shetzrichim Loi means items that are important to you. Water. Something is important to you. The Rambam explains chafetz mishutzrich aloy, expensive items. What would be a nafkamina between Rashi and the Rambam? Shem Tzion Baloch says a very nice nafkamina. A paper cup. A person may need a paper cup very desperately. If you don't have anything else, you're certainly going to use it to drink. But you can't call it an expensive item. So according to Rashi, it'll be Asr. According to Rambam, it'll be Mutter. Now Rashi asks a very fundamental question. Rashi says, what is our Mishnah saying is the concern? That if I'm standing in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and the water is in Rosh Hashanah Yochid, and only thing that's with the water in Rosh Hashanah Yochid is only in my mouth, I may accidentally bring and carry the water to me. Ask Rashi, why do we have to come on to that concern? There's a much more fundamental concern. My only my mouth is in the Rosh Hashanah with the water. So when I drink, the water goes into my system and I'm in the other Rosh Hashanah. So it should be Aser Midaraisa for carrying from one Rosh Hashanah to another Rosh Hashanah. So Rashi says that since my mouth is in the Rishus where the water is, the water is considered landed where my mouth is. I asked the Ritva, fine, it lands in my mouth, but it goes from my mouth into my body, and my body is in another Rishus, so that's when I should be Chayif. So Ritva says, since that's an automatic process, that's part of the digestive process, that's not called Haitzah. There's a very interesting Tosfos. Tosfos proves that the mouth is the area where something lands. He says there's a Gemara. The Gemara says, Yesh oichla chila achas. Somebody can eat one kezayis, and he'd be chayiv number of lavim. What's the case? Somebody eats something osur on Yom Kippur. So be chayiv for eating Yom Kippur. He'll be chayiv for that the food is treif. And also be chayiv for carrying, because let's say he was going from Shusayaka to Shusarabim. Ask Tosfos, that's a Gemara. Ask Tosfos, there are many other Averis that he could have done at the same time. Let's say at the same time he was doing something with his hand and his feet. So Tosfos says, we're only talking about Averis that come simultaneously. They all come in the mouth at the same time. Now, there's a Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer says that normally, when are you chayiv for eating something non-kosher? As soon as you eat it in your mouth. But he says, Yom Kippur is an exception to the rule. Yom Kippur, you only chai when it comes to your mouth, to your stomach. And he says a gevalda garaya. He says, normally, what's the shear to be that you're not allowed to eat? A kezayis. What's the shear Yom Kippur? Kesevis. Why a kesevis? It's a larger amount. Because you're suvi diet. That's when you feel satiated. So he says, obviously, it depends on your stomach, not on your mouth. Ask the kolarye, the chsam soif, and Tosfos don't work together. Tosfos says they were only talking about averis that you chayiv simultaneously, that when you hit your mouth. But Yom Kippur, according to the Chassam Sofer, you're not chayiv when you hit your mouth, it's only chayiv when you hit your stomach. So how could the Gemara include Yom Kippur in the list? So the Kol Aryeh explains, when the Chassam Sofer says that on Yom Kippur you're chayiv for when it hits your stomach, it doesn't mean only when it hits your stomach. It's one process. It starts when it comes to your mouth and ends when it gets to your stomach. What's going to be the nafkamina between understanding the Chassam Sofer the way we seems to say it and the Kol Aryeh? It's very big nafkamina. According to the Chassam Sofer, if somebody would have a stomach tube, so he doesn't eat the food but it comes into his system, so he has the feeling of satiation, he should be chayiv Yom Kippur. Obviously we're not talking about a sick person. According to Kol Aryeh, even the Chassam Sofer will agree he's not chayiv because it has to start with the mouth and end at the stomach. If it didn't start in the mouth, even though he ate who knows how much, he won't be chayiv, at least midaraisa. Ibailu. Nadagmar asks Kamlus Mai. Our Mishnah discusses what's the halacha if the person is standing in Rosh Hashanah Yochid and the drink is in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. What's going to be if the person is in Rosh Hashanah Yochid and Kamlus, Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and Kamlus? Amar Baya, he. It's the same din. Amar Rabba, so Rabba asks, he goof gzeira. The whole concept of karmelis is only midrabbanan. Va'ana nekem nigza gzeira l'gzeira. So how can we do it? So that is a fundamental question. What is pshat and abaya? Rav is right. So mefarshim say two different types of approaches. One is that's kula chad gzeira, that in the decree of karmelis this was included, that you're not allowed to stand in one rishus, in rishus sayokan and drink in a karmelis. So it's not a new gzeira. Or that haitzah is different. That even though normally we don't make double gzeiris, haitzah is different for one of two reasons. Either, as we learned at the beginning of Masechta Shabbos, haitzah is a melacha grua, so it's very easy to be over haitzah, that's why we had to be strict with it. Or it's so common for people to move around things, that's why we have to be particularly strict. Ask the Rivosh a gvalda gakasha. If Abaye is right, that the did of our Mishnah is not only by Rishus HaYochan, Rishus Rabim, it's even with a Kamalist and another Rishus, so the Mishnah should have said it. Why did the Mishnah only choose to speak about Rishus HaYochan, Rishus Rabim? The Mishnah should have said the bigger Chiddush, Rishus HaYochan and Kamalist, Rishus Rabim and Kamalist. So the Rivosh says a very big Chiddush. He says that when the Mishnah, it's not only relevant to this Mishnah, uses the terminology Rishus Rabim, Kamalist is included in that terminology. So according to Abaye, it's included. I'm Rabbi Menami Nilo. So where do I know that? Migdatani, since our Mishnah said the Chem Begas, the wine press. So when we learn the Mishnah, we want to know what does the wine press mean. Says Abaye, you know what the wine press means? It means a karmelis. I, the Mefarshim, ask that we learned our locha in Masechta Shabbos to ain karmelis bekalim, that a utensil can't become a karmelis. So how could a wine press, which is a big vat, become a karmelis? So two truths are given. One is en karmelis bekalim is when the vat, when the keli is not connected to the ground. Here the vat was connected to the ground, so it does become a karmelis. Or another pshat I saw is that we're not talking about a vat that you took a big vat and connected it to the ground. You carved out the ground into a vat, so then it's not keli, it's ground, and that's why it can become a karmelis.
How can the shift that we mentioned 15
water goes? We spoke about that then. V'rava oma linya maisa, that the Mishnah is talking about Maiser. V'chein amar avsheishes, v'chein begas, the Mishnah's din of gas is referring to Maiser. We have to just say a word of introduction. The halacha is, the midaraisa, you're only mechuyiv to take off Maisers from food when you have two conditions met. Number one is that the food has been completely processed, and you're eating the food in a permanent fashion. In the absence of those two conditions, you're not chayiv to take off Maisers. Rabbanon, however, said you are. But even according to Rabbanon, if you eat a food that isn't completely processed in a temporary fashion, then you'll be parted from taking off Maisa. Says Rava, that then our Mishnah is teaching us. That man, Shoysen Alagas, you're allowed to drink wine from the wine press, Beimacham Beimitsoinen, whether it was diluted with hot water or cold water, or potter, and you don't have to take off Maisers, Divremeya. Rav Elazar ben Tzadik Mechayiv, he says that if you dilute it, it's considered already processed, and you can't eat processed food, even in a temporary fashion, without taking off maisers. The chamayim, so the way most of Farshim, this way Rashi explains, it makes a difference what you diluted it with. Alachamim, if you diluted it with warm water, chayiv, because, as the Gemara explained, you're not going to put that wine back. So it's considered fully processed. Alatsoinen, but if it's diluted with cold water, then you potter. You know why? You're going to pour it back, so it's considered not completely processed. That's the din the Mishnah is teaching us. Now, some Rishonim explain the Mishnah different. They explain, it depends what I want to do with the wine. Alachamim, if I want to take the wine and use it for a hot meal, so that means it's not a temporary eating. And that's why it's considered a complete meal, and I'm chayiv. Alatsoinen, if I just want to eat it as a cold meal, so it's just a snack, it's considered temporary.
Why teach us in the Mishnah here if it's taught in the Mishnah in Maisros?
Why did the Mishnah repeat it? I don't know the answer to that. Says the Mishnah, Koilet Adam and Maschila. Now we look at the diagram. A person is allowed to take a pail and collect water from a gutter. The way Rashi explains, the picture isn't actually 100% accurate. Rashi says that their roofs were flat, and there was a concern of the water accumulating on the roof and ruining the roof. So they used to have a series of pipes running along the roof, and all those pipes would lead into a gutter. So the Mishnah says you're allowed to take a pail of water and catch the water as it runs out of the gutter, as long as it's lematim yutfachim, as long as the water, the pail, is less than 10 tefachim. And Rashi explains, and we'll understand what Rashi says better when we learn the Gemara Mitzvah Shem, that the truth is, if you're catching it, you're allowed to catch it even when it's above your tefachim. Umenat Tzinar, that diagram, the first was diagram 346, I'm sorry, I didn't identify it, on page 116. Now we're looking at diagram 347. You're allowed to catch it from a Tzinar. A Tzinar is a drainage pipe. There you could do it. So you could drink it in any way. You could either catch it or you could put your mouth and just drink straight from it. Coil it in. So the Mishnah goes back. The Gemara goes to explain the Mishnah. The din of a gutter, coil it in. You could only catch it. You can't put your mouth next to the drainage pipe and actually drink. The Rabbi says mitzaraf doesn't mean that you have to put your mouth actually by the pipe. As long as it's within 3 tefachim of the pipe, it's considered that's right by the pipe. My tama, why? Amar Rav Nachman, hachav matzchil apox megimel samach legagaskin. We're talking about that the gutter is within 3 tefachim of the house. The kol pox megag gimel, anything that's within 3 tefachim, we learned this concept many times, samach legag, we say loved, and kegag domi. So it's considered like it's Rosh Hashayachid. So if you're going to put your mouth directly by the pipe, and you're standing in the Rosh Hashayachid, so you're going to be collecting from Rosh Hashayachid to Rosh Hashayachid. Only when you put it into a pail, as the picture shows us, will it be mutter. And let's understand why. Because if the water, as the picture 346 shows, is below 10 tefachim, and the pail is below 10 tefachim, so it's going from one rishus to the other. The water is in rishus rabim, and the pail is in rishus rabim. Even if the pail is above 10 tefachim, it's still fine, because they're going from rishus hayochid to a makom ptor, which is also fine. It's only problem, and that's why I said in the Mishnah, really the din in terms of the pail makes no difference if it's below 10 and the next 10. Where below 10 and above 10 will be relevant, we'll see in a minute. Tanya nami hachi, I'm an adam rishus hayochid. A person can be standing in Rosh Hashayachid, or Magbia Yodei Lamal Mesar Tefachim. He could stick up his hand to the next roof, which is above 10 Tefachim. Lepachas Mishalos Samach Lagag, even though it's within 3 Tefachim of the next roof, Ubekoilet, and catch the water, or Vachla Yitzarif, as long as you don't put your mouth right next to the pipe. Now, Taisus is very, this is the Girsa of Rashi in the Gemara. Taisus is very troubled with this Girsa, because we learned, according to Rav Shimon, you could always transport from one roof to the next roof. So why do I need special conditions? It's always mutter. That's why Taisus says we're not talking about one roof to the next roof, as Rashi learns. We're talking about one roof next to the Rosh Hashanah. Tanya Idach, but we learned in another Braisa, Lo Yamed Odom Rosh Hashayachid, a person shouldn't stand in Rosh Hashayachid. And pick up his hand above 10 tefachim, and put his hands right next to it, because it can be carrying it from one roof to the next. Have a coil or two, if he picks, catches in a pail, then it'll be mutter, because it's from a makom ptor v'shaisa. But if it's a drainage pipe, become makom shaisa. So Rashi explains there's a very big difference between a drainage pipe, a tsinor, and a maschil and a gutter. A gutter, a person is going to put right next to the wall of his house. Why? Because he doesn't want that the water should hit his house. So he puts the gutter as close as possible to his house, that his house shouldn't get ruined. A maschila is just the opposite. A person is going to put a maschila further away from his house, because he doesn't want the drainage water to hit his house. So im yesh betzina, so therefore you could put your mouth directly next to the tzinor, because the tzinor is a makom ptor, and you're taking it from Makom Ptor to wherever you are, whether you're in Rosh Hashayachid or Rosh Hashanah. However, says the Gemara, Im yesh betzina dalet al dalet, if the tzinor has a dalet al dalet, osur, then you would not be allowed to put your mouth directly there, because then the tzinor is an independent karmelis, and you'd be carrying from the karmelis to Rosh Hashayachid or Rosh Hashanah, depending on where you're standing. Therefore, Rashi says, since by its tzinor, which is dalet al dalet, we have to be careful. So we have to be careful that the tzina should be lamata miyud, because if it's lamata miyud, you're carrying from one rishus rabim to another rishus rabim, or from a book of Torah to rishus rabim. That's why the Mishnah spoke in terms of lamata miyud in all the cases. Continues the Mishnah. Bar rishus rabim. This is diagram 349. If you have a pit in rishus rabim, v'choyasoy gvoy yud tfachim, you have that it's 10 tfachim, chaloin shal gabov, and then you have a window right next to it. You could pour things into this pit on Shabbos because you're going from Rosh Hashayochid to Rosh Hashayochid. Ashba Rosh Hashayochid, or you have a garbage dump in Rosh Hashayochid, where it also is gevoy yutfachim. It's 10 tfachim tall. Chaloin shal gabov, and you have a mirror, you have a window on top of it. The loch is shayfim utaychim mayim Shabbos. You could pour water into Rosh Hashayochid because you're going from Rosh Hashayochid to a makam tor to Rosh Hashayochid. And even though the Mefarshim point out, we learned many times in this Masechta that the halacha is you can't carry something from Rishus HaYochid to Makom Tor to Rishus HaRabim, that's when you're going from one Rishus to another Rishus. So you can't use the Makom Tor, as we explained many times previously, as a transfer point from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim. But here, we're not going from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim. We're going from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaYochid through a Makom Tor, and that's why it's Mutar. B'mayiskinen. Ask the Gemara, exactly what are we speaking about? Ilem v'smucha, if the pit is right next to the wall of the house, lam lichol yud. So, the way the Gemara is learning now, is that the pit itself is 10 tefachim deep. So if the pit itself is 10 tefachim deep, it's a rishus hayochid on its own. So what's the difference with the choyu, with the embankment around the pit? Amar Rav Huna, so Rav Huna explains, hachab b'mayiskinen, that the pit is 4 tefachim away from the house. So if the embankment is 10 tefachim tall, so it's an independent rishus hayochid. But if it's not 10 tefachim, haleka chol yasara, if the embankment is not 10 tefachim deep, come atop from rishus hayochid, rishus hayochid derech rishus rabim, it'll come out you're carrying from rishus hayochid to rishus hayochid through rishus rabim, which will be asar. So according to the Mishnah, we have two choices. Either that this embankment should be right next to the wall, or not more than dal tefachim away from the wall, or that it should have 10 tefachim itself. If it's 10 tefachim itself, then it's fine. Now there are a few issues to discuss. One is that, you know, you look at this Mishnah and you think, where could this be relevant to us, halach l'maisa? Shalom Tzion Balacha points out that it's very relevant. What's going to be the halacha if somebody, instead of having a pit and a embankment around it, which we probably don't have, has a sukkah next to, in his alleyway, and he, you know, we used to see this a lot, now you don't see it so much, they have a pulley system that you'd transport items from, you live on the, I don't know what floor, down to sukkah. The dumbwaiter. And a pulley system. So how do you, are you allowed to use it? So he says like this. If in the schach you have an opening, so you're going from your house, and your sukkah is above 10 tefachim tall, through a makom tor into your sukkah. But that's not so simple, because you, if you have a hole in your schach, you may end up having a possible sukkah. So what can you do? You leave a little space between the house, between the wall of the house and the sukkah. But you have to be careful, he says, that that space should not be more than 4 tefachim. Because our Gemara just taught us that if the space is more than 4 tefachim, then it becomes an independent area, and you're now allowed to transfer from there to the Rishus HaYochid.
Why is 4 also a number?
Because 4 is significant. It's not because of love, it's because of significance. Rav Yochanan Amar, a few time b'smucha. Even if it's, the Mishnah is talking about it's right next to it. And what's the Mishnah teaching us? Hakamashman, the bar v'chuyasoy mitstafim lasara. That you can combine the pit and the embankment to get the necessary 10 tefachim for Rosh Hashanah. So there's a very interesting shaila from the Paiskim. Let's say you have a pit that's only 5 tefachim deep. And the embankment is another 5 tefachim. So you have your 10. However, the way you have the 10 is because you combine them. Now you went and you put something on the top of the embankment. The embankment itself is only 5 tall. Is it considered that you put something on a Rishus HaYochid? You're standing in the Rishus HaRabim and you put it on the embankment. Is it considered you put something on a Rishus HaYochid and you be chayif? Or since the embankment itself is only 5 tefachim deep, 5 tefachim tall, sorry, it's not a Rishus HaYochid. So most Paiskim, the Chazanist says this, that you'll be Chayiv. He says, very posh the Svara. He says, if it's strong enough to make the area inside Rishus Sayachid, then it itself must also be Rishus Sayachid. Continues the Mishnah, the Gemara. Ask for Rishus Sarabim. That if you have a garbage dump in Rishus Rabim, the 10th Fakum tall, you could pour directly from your home, which is Rishus Sayachid, onto the garbage dump, which is Rishus Sayachid. Ask the Gemara, V'lechashin Hashemet Natal Ashpar, are we not concerned that the garbage dump may be removed? V'arovim Barav Idi Barav Ada, Rav Yitzchak, we learned this at the beginning of the Masechta, Daf Ches, Ma'is Bavi Echad, there was a story with a Mavi. This is diagram 350. Shetzidai Echad Kol Layom. Shetzidai Echad Kol La'ashpar, we had three sides to it. The Mavi had houses in the back, that's how it was enclosed. On the other side it had a yam, an ocean, and the other side it had a garbage dump. So it was enclosed with three sides, and then the fourth side had a lechi or a kaira, which we said beginning of the Masechta, that allows you to carry in the home of it. And the Magen Avraham explains that this yam that we see here on the left, on the right side, either has a wall, that's how he has it, or the beach, the embankment is fairly steep that it should be considered a mechitza. Obam ma'aslef ne Rebbe. So the question came to Rebbe: are you allowed to carry in this mavi? The loyama by loy isav loy heter. He didn't want to say that it's mutter aser. Heter loyama ba. He didn't want to say it's mutter. The cheshin and shaman to natal ashpa. We're concerned that maybe the garbage dump will be removed, and we're concerned the yala yam certain, or maybe the ocean will recede and will no longer serve as a mechitza. But he didn't want to say it's us carrying this mavi, the kaim mechitzes, because right now it's properly enclosed. But what do we see? That we are concerned that the garbage dump may be removed. Why in our Mishnah are we not concerned? Answers the Gemara like Kasha, Hadi Yochid Hadi Rabin. It makes a difference if it's a private garbage dump or it's a public garbage dump. On a private garbage dump, the concern that was raised on Daf Ches is real, that it may be removed. On a public garbage dump, it's not likely they'll get removed, because people, you have a public using it, they're constantly going to put items on it, and that's why we don't have to be concerned that it's going to be removed. And that's the case of our Mishnah, why our Mishnah wasn't concerned, Shemati Natal Hashba.